Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl, and on today's program, we will have two special guests on our program today. We'll be talking with Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, who is a cardiovascular researcher and the featured physician in the new movie, Fork Over Knives. We'll be talking with him about heart disease reversal. And we'll also talk with health scientist and nutrition researcher, Dr. Gene Spiller. We'll be talking to him about the power of sun-dried raisins, about the antioxidant astaxanthin, and other important nutrition topics. But before we get into today's exciting topics, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Tomatoes are a superfruit. Now, a lot of people think of tomatoes as a vegetable, but actually tomatoes are a fruit. And a review article published in the American Journal of Lifestyle Medicine points to research showing an association between tomatoes and tomato products and improved health. Tomatoes are one of the highest sources of dietary lycopene, a powerful antioxidant that retains its benefits even after cooking. Now, this is an unusual characteristic as many nutrients in fruits and vegetables begin losing their beneficial qualities after cooking. Well, the review article also points to research showing a relationship between tomato consumption and decreased risk of cognitive dysfunction, osteoporosis, cardiovascular disease, and certain types of cancers. Add to that its anti-inflammatory tendencies, the nutritional benefits and wide availability, and you do indeed have a true superfruit in tomatoes. So I encourage you, eat more tomatoes in your diet. Well, here's a study that shows that vegetarian diets actually help kidney disease patients. Doctors advise people suffering from kidney disease to limit their intake of phosphorus, high levels of the mineral, which is difficult for those with kidney disease to flush out of the body, is associated with heart disease and death. Kidney patients, many find challenges associated with lowering the phosphorus intake, though, as the mineral is not listed on food labels. However, focusing on a plant-based diet may provide a good alternative. Researchers studied the differences between phosphorus levels of chronic kidney disease patients when they are consumed on a vegetarian diet compared with a meat-based diet. After examining blood and urine samples, they found that patients had lower phosphorus levels after being on a vegetarian diet, even when the intake of protein and phosphorus concentrations were equivalent. These results, if confirmed in longer studies, provide rationale for recommending a predominance of grain-based vegetarian sources of protein to patients with chronic kidney disease. This diet would allow protein intake without adversely affecting phosphorus levels, the researchers concluded. Let's talk about stroke and sausage. Sausage, hot dog, salami, ham, bologna, and other processed meats may increase the risk of stroke. Swedish researchers followed more than 40,000 men aged 45 to 79 for 10 years. Those who reported eating the most processed meats, that's more than 2 ounces a day, had a 23% higher risk of stroke than those who ate the least, that's less than 2/3 of an ounce a day. So processed meats can increase your risk of stroke, but studies have linked them also to many other illnesses, including diabetes, heart disease, and colon cancer. Exercise can help you get a good night's sleep, especially if you're older. In a small study in sleep medicine, researchers from Northwestern University in Chicago found that people 55 years or older, nearly all women, with chronic insomnia who started doing aerobic activities reported significantly better sleep, mood, and vitality after 4 months than those who did not exercise at all. The aerobic exercise workouts included walking, treadmill running, and stationary cycling done 40 minutes a day, 4 times a week. Now, an important point is it's best not to work out within 3 hours of bedtime, however, because this may actually interfere with your sleep. That's our news and research update for today. We'll be back with more after this quick break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And the question today is, there has been quite a buzz about high-protein diets lately. I know you recommend a diet based on starches, fruits, and vegetables, but is there any truth to ramping up on protein, even non-animal protein, instead of carbs? Well, you know, the current popular promotion of high-protein diets really is a lot of hype, and in fact, the average American already takes in twice the amount of protein that he or she needs. And an excess amount of animal protein has been linked to osteoporosis, kidney disease, and some cancers. And because of most animal proteins are really rich in saturated fat and cholesterol, they actually contribute to America's number one killer, and that's heart disease. Now, while it's true that plant sources of protein such as soy products are better and do not have the same deleterious effects on our health as the animal products do, consuming excess amounts of plant protein is not really a healthy practice as well. You know, high-protein diets, especially animal protein, increases risk of osteoporosis by promoting the excretion of calcium through the urine, and populations that consume large amounts of meat have increased risk of colon cancer as well. Now, the healthiest diet from the healthiest and longest-living people in the world is based on a diet on complex carbohydrates, and as well as fruits and vegetables. And getting adequate, not excess amounts of protein from healthy sources such as grains, legumes, fruits, and vegetables can easily meet your nutritional needs. So I want you to remember, high-protein diets promote premature aging and disease, and low-protein diets and plant-based diets promote good health and longevity.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
And now with me is a good friend and longtime colleague, Dr. Gene Spiller. And Dr. Spiller is presenting a couple of different studies here at the American College of Nutrition Conference. Well, Gene, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to see you again.
Tell us about that study you're going to be presenting here on sun-dried raisins, because sun-dried raisins, of course, are a very healthy food, but a lot of people aren't aware of a lot of the beneficial effects, a lot of phytochemistry in sun-dried raisins and so forth. Tell us about the study that you have, you're presenting here at the college.
Well, as you know, sun-dried raisins are very high in antioxidants. And we did a lot of studies showing that if you feed sun-dried raisins after consuming the raisins, your blood levels of this fancy measurement that they call ORAC for measurement of antioxidant activity goes up in the blood, and then, of course, after a while goes down because the antioxidant go into your body. So it is known that in very intense physical activity, like if you run a marathon or a triathlon or, you know, or you bicycle for 80 kilometers or this kind of thing, there is some damage, some oxidation damage to cells. And, you know, that damage by oxidation in the long run can lead to cancer. Maybe oxidized cholesterol is much worse than non-oxidized cholesterol, and so on. So you have heart disease, cancer, major illnesses. So we decided to take some well-trained triathlon men and women that are used to do this activity regularly, and we fed them raisins before and during the swim. The first part is a swim, so we get them before the swim. Then they bicycle, so we get them raisins before the bicycling and halfway through the bicycle run. And then eventually during the actual run itself, we get them raisins again. And at the end, we measure urine and blood antioxidant levels. And we do a lot of very fancy measurements, some of them very difficult to understand for most people, very sophisticated. And we had half of the group went on the raisins, half went just on a similar sugar solution with no antioxidant, just to give them the same amount of energy. So there was no difference in energy consumption. And then the second cycle, we switched them over. The one that had the raisins the first time had the sugar the second time, and vice versa.
Now, how much raisins are we talking about?
We're talking quite a bit of raisins. We're talking about 4 little packets of raisins, which is not a lot, but about maybe 120 grams, 3-4 ounces of raisins. That's what we're
saying. So 4 of the small boxes of raisins that you can get at your grocery stores.
That's right.
And let's distinguish between now sun-dried raisins. There's different types of raisins. There's the white raisins. There's the other type of raisins that most people have. What kind of raisins are we talking about?
No, we fed regular raisins. They usually come from the Thompson seedless grapes. And those are regular sun-dried raisins. Some raisins are dried in a different way by fast methods. So we believe that sun-drying is the most natural way to do it. It's the old-fashioned way. The raisins sit out in the California sun, you know, in the Central Valley in California for 3 or 4 weeks. And those are actually yellow raisins, white raisins, whatever you want to call them, those are pretty good too. But we believe that, you know, the regular dark raisins are the ultimate. So that's what we use anyway.
So what were the results of the study?
So the results of the study showed that most of the subjects, not everybody is going to react, as you know, but most of the subjects, when they consumed the raisin, they had less signals, whatever you want to call them, of damage by oxygen than the people who didn't eat the raisin. People without the raisin said what the sophisticated chemists now call oxidative DNA damage. As you know, damage in DNA, DNA is a key factor in, you know, in cell reproductions, good or bad, in maybe cancer cells, whatever else you have.
And damage to the DNA potentially could promote cancer later on.
Yeah, in the long run, yes. So the one who ate the raisins, when they ate the raisins, had less damage than when they had the pure sugar at the same level of calories.
So a lot of people think, of course, raisins are from grapes, and red grapes are shown to have a lot of antioxidant compounds in it that are very important for the body and for good health. So in other words, most people think of the studies done on wine and drinking red wine. So if someone doesn't want to have alcohol, if they are including a lot of raisins in the diet, that could be very beneficial.
Yeah, and remember, though, that even though people talk about red grapes, raisins are made from white grapes. So even though they turn black as they sun-dry in the sun. So basically, we show that raisins are one of the highest dry foods in antioxidant power. Very, very high power of antioxidants. So really, it's a good way. If you don't want to drink red wine, you can use raisins.
Now, Dr. Spiller, you and I and Dr. John McDougall did a study on rheumatoid arthritis, which is a major problem today. We found that putting people on a very low-fat, vegan, vegetarian diet over 1 month, the majority of the subjects in our study that we published had significant improvements as far as their symptoms is concerned. And you are also presenting a study on rheumatoid arthritis here at the conference with an algae from Hawaii. Tell us a little bit about that study.
Yeah, this is an algae grown in Kona. And Kona, as you well know, is part of the big island of Hawaii. And they grow this red algae that contains a lot of carotenoids. And they have this fancy name, astaxanthin. And we took some people with very careful, a physician examined them and did some forms and so on. And we checked them out. We had some of them, the real product, some of them a placebo with nothing else but just a plain oil in there where the thing is dissolved. And the results were really very significant. The people with rheumatoid arthritis that took the real substance had less symptoms, and we didn't change anything else. You know, we never changed anything else. And those people take a lot of medications, as you know. We didn't change any of their medications, anything else. We let them do their own thing. And the people who took the astaxanthin had much better results than the people who didn't.
Now, that's interesting. And, of course, the astaxanthin is a relatively new carotenoid that people are talking about today. And it's not in a lot of products out there, but, of course, it is getting more in some of the nutritional products. Do you see a future for astaxanthin and as a regular dietary supplement or getting in food products maybe down the road as far as being beneficial to one's health?
Oh, I think so. And, you know, remember, there's a very powerful antioxidant, too. Let me say this. We also did another study where we studied this carpal tunnel syndrome. And in that study with people, for instance, there was this fellow who used to play golf regularly. Well, after he played golf, he couldn't play for 2 or 3 days because of the pain in his wrist. And a lot of computer people have this pain in the wrist. The people that do repetitive motions, you know, like in certain factories, you have the same thing, mechanics. Well, anyway, this fellow, after he took the tablets for a while, he was able to play golf the same day again. He couldn't do that without tremendous pain before. And people, when the study was finished, they were begging us, where can we get the real product? They didn't know what they were taking. They were blind to it. So that was a terrific result, too. So I think this thing is something good. We need to do more studies on both of them.
So it's interesting, particularly with the rheumatoid arthritis. In our study, our hypothesis was that potentially animal proteins could be looked at by the body as foreign invaders, and there's an immune response that can promote damage to the joints in promoting rheumatoid arthritis and inflammation and so forth. But beyond that, it indicates that having plant foods with unique phytochemicals such as carotenoids and other substances in foods may also have benefits for the rheumatoid arthritis patient.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the future really is in eating more plant foods. If you don't want to be a vegetarian, at least you can eat a plant-based diet, you know, and cut down especially on meats and that kind of product. And also eat products that are high in phytochemicals, you know, green leaves and yellow vegetables and fruits, you know, and whole grains and so on.
And it appears the more colorful the food, the better it is for you as far as health is concerned. Isn't that true?
Yes, right. That's why whole grain bread is better than white bread, you know, and that's one of the tragic of American diets, that they eat too much white bread, and the greens and yellows and all the foods.
And that was an interview that I did with Dr. Gene Spiller, a leading health scientist and nutrition researcher. I conducted that interview at the American College of Nutrition Conference. And now we're going to a special interview that I did on television in Hawaii with Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn that I'd share with you, where we talk about prevention and reversal of heart disease.
We're honored to have Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn Jr., who's a renowned individual and physician from the Cleveland Clinic and also a pioneer in heart disease reversal research. Nice to have you here.
John, I'm proud and delighted to be here.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America today. Tell us about that.
That's unquestionably the case, and what we have to do is define the fact that we've really got to focus on eliminating this number one disease. For instance, we have over 500,000 people who will die this year of heart disease. There will be another 1.5 million people who will have a diagnosis of a new heart attack. There will be another 3 million people who will have a so-called silent heart attack. They'll have severe indigestion, and this will be when their heart attack has occurred. But, you know, the exciting thing is the lesson that we learned really from World War II. When the Axis powers of Germany overran the Low Countries of Holland and Belgium and occupied Norway, they actually took away a lot of their livestock, their chickens, their goats, their lamb, their sheep. And these countries were largely subsisting on a plant-based diet of grains, legumes, lentils, vegetables, and fruit. And there was a documentation in Norway of how their deaths from cardiovascular disease, from stroke and heart attack, during a time of greatest personal stress, when their country was occupied by the Axis powers of Germany from 1939 to 1945, deaths from these diseases plummeted And if we adapt the plant-based nutrition of these countries and achieve the same low blood cholesterol, blood fat levels, that means that we also ought to be able to arrest that disease. And that was the basic thesis behind the research that I started back in 1985.
And I'm very excited about that research you've been doing, because you have conducted the longest running study to show that heart disease is reversible through a healthy meatless diet, actually. And tell us more about that.
Well, back in 1985, after my wife and I had been eating a plant-based diet for a year and our cholesterols had plummeted, I went to our Department of Cardiology and said, look, I'm not interested in practicing cardiology, but I am interested in helping you take your patients with severe heart disease and see if we can't really reduce their level of blood fats and blood cholesterol. And they were enthusiastic, and I ended up with a group of about 24 patients who were so severely ill with this disease that a number of them had been advised to go home and get ready to die by these expert cardiologists.
So the patients that you had on this meatless diet, what were the results that they experienced?
Very exciting. Their angina began to disappear, that is, their heart pain. They've lost weight. They not only felt better, but then after 5 years, we did the critical thing. We repeated a number of the angiograms, and we found striking results, because when they were carefully measured and compared to the baseline angiograms, that is, the outline of their arteries, before the program was started, and then 5 years into the program, there were often, we found, dramatic reversals of the disease. And this was so terribly empowering to these patients, because it made them really feel now they're on the right track. And then, therefore, they were not depending on a physician. They're not depending upon a cardiologist. They're not depending upon a cardiac surgeon. What they have been able to do, they have been able to unleash the incredible therapeutic powerhouse that resides within each and every one of us. But once again, if you're going to have these kinds of exciting results, it truly has to be strict attention to detail. And the phrase that I ask any patient that I'm going to counsel to totally give up before I will counsel them is, sweetheart, this little bit can't hurt.
So if we have today who may have heart disease, they may have atherosclerosis, high cholesterol, what things do they need to do? What kind of results can they experience on this meatless diet that you recommend?
If they are really absolutely dotting all the I's and crossing the T's using a plant-based diet, and they know on a regular basis, every 2 weeks to every 6 weeks, that their total cholesterol is under 150 and their LDL, their bad cholesterol, is under 80, then they're absolutely, they're right on the money for abolishing this disease. As is, I will use an example. The young surgeon who replaced me as the chairman of the Breast Cancer Task Force, in 1996, at age 44, with a cholesterol of 156, he had a heart attack after he had finished surgery one day and was writing post-operative orders, this crushing pain in his chest. And he had a heart attack, and his angiogram of his coronary arteries was actually quite good, except the lower part of the main artery in the front of the heart was completely diseased. And it was too long a segment for any of these common interventions, and he couldn't have a bypass, and he couldn't have an angioplasty. And he was very depressed. So my wife and I had him out to the house, and we counseled him. And at that point, I had 10 years of data. And I said, Joe, you know, you really ought to do this. You've been eating this toxic American diet. And he said, I'll do it, but I'm not going to take any of the cholesterol-lowering drugs with it. He became the absolute personification of commitment to this program. And within 2.5 years, when they did another angiogram, that the diseased segment of his coronary artery was completely resolved. His disease was gone. And his life now is so solid and so empowered, he has absolutely zero fear of this disease now, because he has made himself heart attack proof. Should people who don't have heart disease do this? When you look carefully at the battle casualties of Korea and Vietnam at an average age of 21 years in our GIs, at the time of their autopsy, if you look carefully at their coronary arteries without a microscope, 80% already have gross evidence of coronary artery disease. Now, these guys haven't been diagnosed with coronary artery disease, but they're already loaded with it. What's going to happen to them 20 or 30 years later? Why? And the most important thing we haven't even talked about tonight is the fact that at age 50, most Americans, if you look at their brain scan with MRIs, begin developing these little unidentified white spots that we now know are tiny little strokes. Why in the world would you say with somebody who doesn't have symptomatic coronary heart disease not to go on a plant-based diet and let these kind of little strokes begin to develop until your memory goes sour when you're in your 70s and you lose your cognition? No, I don't think we can really escape that. Just because you may be somehow genetically gifted to get away without getting heart disease while you're eating the Western diet, there are so many other diseases that you are going to encounter if you continue to eat this way. And why do you want to have the opportunity to go into your senior years and not have that be when you're all your cognition and all of your intellect is absolutely right on the top? Why do you want to be somebody who has these severe personality changes, multiple strokes, in a rest home or nursing home? You want to be there enjoying your family, your children, your grandchildren, and ideally, your great-great-grandchildren.
Well, that was powerful information from, in my opinion, one of the most important leaders in the field of heart disease prevention and reversal. And Dr. Esselstyn's book, Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease, as well as the landmark film, which is now in DVD, which is called Forks Over Knives, in which Dr. Esselstyn is the medical expert featured in that film, both are available for order. And for more information about them, you can look at our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. And if you don't have his book or have seen this really great film, Forks Over Knives, I encourage you to order it for your personal library. You can also find information about Dr. Spiller's books that he has written. Dr. Gene Spiller is a prolific author on health and nutrition, and his books are also available at healthandlongevityradio.com. Well, we'll be back with a final word right after this short break.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
This is Dr. John Westerdahl, and that's all for this week. Until our next broadcast, we wish you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.